You know, I'm actually glad you said something because I'm hitting record right now.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 140 for Thursday, the 31st of August, 2017. I just felt like saying some weird shit. Hey, Kent, how you doing, man?
Oh, geez, man. It's the end of August. How the hell is the end of August? It's almost like 2018 and shit. I'm good, man, but we're not alone. We got Amy Escobar with us. What's going on, Amy?
Hey, doing pretty good.
She's doing pretty good.
Got a little wine. Got a little coffee.
What? Wait. Wine and no. Okay, now I have to ask. Now you've brought up questions. Now, is it wine, coffee? Is it coffee, wine, or is it wine and coffee mixed? Or do you have two separate glasses, one for the coffee and one for the wine?
Or are you just whining because all you have is coffee?
So we got a little, teeny glass of wine. I have, three bottles that are open and need to be finished. And then coffee, because, I don't know, why not just mix the two?
It's valid. I'll allow it.
I'm not sure how that works, but
that's what I like about Amy. She challenges the norm.
Yeah. It sounds good to me. It looks good on paper. Speaking of challenging things, did you know that? So I just want to get straight into it, man. I hate Texas. I hate Texas. I hated living there both times that I lived there. I still think the only redeeming quality of the entire state is the city of Austin. And maybe the Riverwalk in San Antonio, maybe. There's just so much that I don't like about Texas that we don't even need to get into it right now, because what I'm here to say is Texas got fucked up, man. Like, it got jacked up. And even as much as I hate Texas, that's not cool.
Right, man. Unless you've been living under a rock, you're very well aware of Houston and the surrounding areas. There on the East Coast or the Gulf Coast, if you prefer, of Texas, really got slammed by Hurricane Harvey, and most of it's underwater now. They're under a lot of water, and
the county that Houston is in at one time was 30% underwater. Like of the county, 30% of the county was underwater, and that's like a lot of water. Amy, have you been to Texas?
Only very, very briefly. I kind of have the same thought about Texas because I researched there. I almost moved to Austin. Not really though.
It's a miserable place. It's really hot and full of a bunch of really not very nice, not nice to be around people. However, again, Austin, man. Austin and the surrounding area of Austin is just awesome. Except for Crunchy. She's in the chat room right now, and she's in the surrounding area of Austin, and apparently she's not awesome because she's calling me names.
I think Crunchy's pretty awesome. but that's beside the point. Texas, yeah, I mean, it's got some really wonderful places in it, and there are some really good people there, and I do feel for the people of Houston. I don't know anybody that currently lives in Houston, but I do know a lot of people that are from Houston, and I feel for their families that are dealing with this right now.
You're supposed to visit Houston here in a couple of days.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I won't be here show next week. I am doing some traveling, got some business to take care of, and I was going to be flying I'm still flying Saturday, but I was supposed to be flying into Houston, which I didn't realize until
today,
yesterday. And that's not good. So today, United is the airline, unfortunately, that I'm flying with. They started flying again today. However, so my flight into Houston was still on time, scheduled, not a problem, but my flight out of Houston was canceled, and that's the problem.
wait. As it is right now, just doing the simple math, not reading into anything, just the simple math. As of right now, you are due to become a Houston refugee.
Right. I fixed that, though. it only cost me about an hour on hold with United. But when the operator or customer service representative, if you will, finally came on the line, she was a very nice person, and I learned all about her. She works from home. She lives in Florida. She's got a couple of dogs. She takes care of her father, who has Alzheimer's. I learned all about this nice lady, which I guess it takes so long for the computer to bring up like all the available flights or whatever. We just kind of chatted for like 20 minutes in the meantime.
Right, because she's working from her spare bedroom on dial-up, trying to bring up entire tables of flights and shit.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But no, she was very nice, and she helped me out a lot. Now I'm flying tomorrow instead of Saturday into Denver. And the downside of that is that I have to stay the night in Denver and then fly into Indy on Saturday.
Are they paying for you to stay in Denver?
They are not, because the way that they wanted to rebook me was leaving out on the 5th. I think it was Tuesday? And also through Houston. No, like, no. No, ma'am, we're not doing that. How about Friday? Can I leave Friday? yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
While you're in Denver, you should try to hook up with Coverville and see if maybe you can do dinner or something like that.
Oh,
I know I'm a dude with all the ideas. I have zero execution skills, but man, I got ideas just pouring out of the ears.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a super late dinner because I'm not getting into like 9 o'clock or something.
What time are you leaving?
Seven, a little after seven.
Like this is the beauty of this podcast. We could totally be having this conversation offline, but instead we're brassing it out to all three of our viewers.
And here's my social security number.
My travel plans. I'll be in Denver. Swing on by for for an autograph. Hey, it was the twins' birthday yesterday. We got them Apple Watches.
Oh, wow.
Sterling was the one that wanted an Apple Watch. Madison was saying that she didn't really care. She didn't think she was going to get an Apple Watch. So she's like, blowing it off. I go to set him up. And of course, we're doing this completely in secret, right? Like the night before their birthday or whatever. So they wake up in the morning to the watches being there, because that's what I do. Madison's watch synced up first time perfectly, straight on through. Sterling's took me an hour and a half to sync up, and I still don't know why or how it was fixed, but it's worked fine since. And this is what I get for trying to do shit at midnight.
Yeah, way to go, Dad. Hey, but it worked out, so good.
Squid says, fuck Apple.
Of course he does. That's it.
Save all your Apple hate for the show on the 14th.
Two weeks from now.
Yeah.
You can give us all the hate you want, because we're going to be talking all about the Apple event.
Right.
Amy, are you an Apple person, a Windows person, an Android person, or something else?
Okay, so I'm on a Core 2 Duo MacBook with an original Cinema display. So I'm more of a, like, poor person, honestly. You know what? I am kind of both. I think philosophically, I probably am not an Apple person. But I actually really like Final Cut 10. I really don't mind it. And it's really actually kind of nice for things like no frills, like a YouTube video or something.
Right.
And I appreciate certain interfaces. So I don't know. It's kind of hard. Centrist, I guess. I don't know.
Final Cut Pro 10 was actually the first one that I used, you know, after they did the big switchover and in 08 or whatever. And learning how to use that was so dead simple. That's why I like Audition for my audio editing, because it's basically the same. It even uses some of the same commands. And then, of course, using Audition, then now I'm using Premiere Pro because I'm on a fucking Windows computer as my main computer. But like, if it wasn't for Final Cut, I would not have gotten into the whole like real serious editing process. And it is dead simple, and it makes it, it's a really good interface. I know they took away a lot of the stuff, but
whatever. Well, and they added a lot of it back eventually.
Right.
I know people were really upset with the multicam stuff, but I mean, they added it back. So
yeah,
I don't know.
There's so much going on right now that I can't help but think back to an easier time, a better time, a time when I could just kind of get lost in a world that wasn't so stressful, where I could learn about friends that were on massive adventures across faraway lands and places where, you know what, I really don't feel like sweeping the floor, so I'm just going to get my magical broom to do it. Back in the days when I was reading a lot of Dragonlance.
Yeah, man, those were great times. If you guys out there have not read a Dragonlance novel, I highly encourage you to pick up Dragons of Autumn Twilight, which is the very first Dragonlance novel. Just check it out. If you have any interest whatsoever in fantasy, just fiction in general, like I highly encourage it. It's a very easy read. It's very fun. It's just great. It's escapist literature is what I would call it.
And it's right there. If you're watching the video version, I'm pointing at it right now.
Yeah. So the reason we're talking about Dragonlance right now, there was an article posted on Vox just a few days ago, probably about a week ago. And Margaret Weiss, who we've had on the show, she is the author of the original Dragonlance books. She and Tracy Hickman were co-authoring it. She's the actual like word author. Tracy is like the world creator. She posted this article, and I had to read it, of course. And I had some thoughts. Man, Amos, did you read the article?
I did not. I did not get a chance to. I did not get a chance to really do a lot of the linking and reading stuff for this week, unfortunately.
Right. Well, so my thoughts about this article, the way it was presented was, hey, everyone out there that's suffering from Game of Thrones. I can't even think of the word I'm looking for.
Words. Game of Thrones, yeah, words.
Don't get old, folks. Don't get old.
Fatigue?
Overload?
No. The opposite. If you're missing.
Withdrawal.
Withdrawal is the word I was looking for.
Withdrawal.
So that are having Game of Thrones withdrawal, why don't you check out Dragonlance? Indulge in the nostalgia that it's Dragonlance. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be a really great article. Well, I started reading it, and I automatically had mixed feelings. Because as much as she is praising Dragonlance, she's simultaneously like knocking the simplicity of the characters, the lack of depth, the cliche of the archetypes and that. So I was kind of like, about halfway through this article, I was like, fuck this. Like, this is, like, she's pissing me off right now. But I finished the article. And by the end, like, I feel like she redeemed herself. But I don't know. I'm eager to talk to this lady. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to find out what she really thinks about Dragonlance.
Yeah.
So, you know what? There's her Twitter handle right there. I'm gonna reach out to her. Her name is Constance Grady, and she was gracious enough to reply to me like immediately, saying, "Hell yeah, yes, I will definitely come on your show to talk about Dragonlance." So look for that in the somewhat near future.
The coming weeks.
In the coming weeks, yeah. Let's say the coming weeks. It's not gonna be next week for sure, or the following. We'll see what happens, but yeah. So we'll be having a Vox staff writer on the show fairly soon, so look forward to that.
Oh shit, son, people with actual notoriety on this show, not gonna happen,
right?
Speaking of fun stuff, like getting one in the way back tropes of yore, some Lord of the Rings RPG forums been sparking your interest.
I mean, I've kind of been on a nostalgic kick for, I don't know, I feel like maybe ever since I crossed over 25 or something.
you don't look a day over like 18.
I know. Oh, I know.
good old days. 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's going to work out to my advantage someday. I still remember when we first got internet, and we really didn't have it for quite a while. We were really out in the boondocks, but I remember it was very close to like when the Lord of the Rings came out, or at least when I got to see them, because I kind of got to see them a little later.
The movies, right? Not the books.
The movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
I was gonna say, holy shit, you look way really young. Damn. Woo. Doing good. That's a oil of Olay, isn't it? Holy shit.
Yes.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Don't say things like that, because I'll just be like, oh, what? Maybe. And then I'll kind of goes in one ear, comes out the other. But so I remember this was like in the days where I was just like finding out what anime was, and I was just like getting, like, I just got an email address, and Yahoo! So I, Hotmail.
It's like the nerd awakening. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I still can't believe how many people never saw the HTML in Hotmail. Like, they just assumed it was Hotmail. Like, oh, they didn't realize
their original logo was like the letters were capitalized, right?
Right.
The
yeah.
In the L. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Amy, you were probably like 3 when that happened. So.
But no, because she was around when Lord of the Rings came out, so she's like 87. She's just right. She's just that oil of LA, man. I'm telling you.
Fuck up, everyone. yeah. But like, I just went to this old forum. It's called LOTR Plaza, and you had to like take. It was like you took a personality test or something, and it told you like what nation you were. I mean, people were super into this too. And like there were different forums for different realms, and people would like visit each other. And I just remember being so secretive about it. I don't know if I just thought it was like really uncool, or I was like, oh, if my parents find out I have like another life, they're gonna freak out or something. Wow, look at that Hotmail logo. Yeah, I just got distracted.
See, HTML, like it's
yeah. But yeah, like, oh my god, if you get discovered to be a secret nerd, oh no.
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of sad because you go back and like nothing's there anymore. It's like,
oh.
It's like you almost don't want to go and look back at things because it's might be gone. Like the whole website that you loved might not even be there.
You remember the token rings? Like there used to be a Dragonlance token ring, and you'd click at the bottom of it, you'd click next site or whatever. Yes. And there was like these 8 sites.
It was like GeoCities and Angel Fire and all those like.
Yeah. But there's like this specific Dragonlance token ring that I would just follow the like for hours. And every time I'd go there, there'd be something new. And
yep.
It was all like HTML 2.0. Like they hadn't even upgraded. Like you couldn't, there was no CSS. It was all like, sometimes you'd pop on there and they forget to open with the HTML tags. So it would just be script, you know? There's no.
Dude, that was 3.2, by the way. Just yeah, for the record.
Yeah. There's no DOCSIS header or anything else.
Yeah. None of that. None of that.
This is still decades before Amy came along. So.
or way after. It's one of those.
We just don't know. I just
ageless Amy. That's there you go.
That's
the time of MSN, AIM, and Zanga is kind of, that's where you can date me. About, I think I was about 13 then. So
the turn of the century.
Ish. Amy, I tell you what, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, I think I highly recommend to you Dragonlance, because it's very much in the same.
It's like a simplified version of it.
Oh, yes, that's what the article was saying. That was interesting because I've always thought, I didn't even read the Lord of the Rings until I saw the first film. Because at the time, I mean, I have not grown up reading anything anyway, and Tolkien really.
It's difficult.
Like.
I haven't read it.
He's good actually with like poetry and but he just kind of, you know, it's just.
Well, I mean, he'll spend 3 days describing a tree.
Yeah,
or
like
three pages is what I meant.
There's a reason why it feels like three days. there's a reason why like Harry Potter kind of just took off with readers more.
Then you will absolutely love Dragonlance. If you like the themes and the basic material of Lord of the Rings, but the pacing of Harry Potter, Dragonlance is built for you.
So the thing that I love about Dragonlance so much, about Kryn and about everything, is that there's a rule structure inherent in the story. It's not just you kind of go through and you don't know. It flat out says what the rules are. You know, every character has a set of rules that they're following. And one character with Tasselhoff, the rules are that there are no rules, you know, and they live right by it. Like, if there's a rule to be broken, Tasselhoff's like, not consciously, but his character has to find a way to break that rule. And my OCD, the detail and the organization that goes into Dragonlance without being thrown in your face, you don't need a tutorial to read Dragonlance. By the time you finish the first trilogy, the 900 pages or whatever that the first trilogy encompasses, you know the rules, like you already know them.
Yeah,
and I love that aspect of it. I love the fact that you've got all the tropes and all the stereotypes, but you don't have all the cliches. You got a lot of the cliches, but not all of them.
Sure. Yeah, well, and it also kind of further defined the genre. I think a lot of novel, like fantasy novels in that vein, borrow heavily from Dragonlance.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's the second round on this show about Dragonlance.
guys are the like second people to tell. My husband's been telling me I should read them too. So.
I've read some books. I've got all of them. Like, they're all right there.
so speaking of genres and just various art forms and all of that sort of stuff, I think communities would be better served if they were communities of artists that appealed to their interests. And
so are you saying Margaret Weis should start releasing like short stories and maybe have a way for her fans, her diehard fans, to compensate her and show their appreciation monetarily for her time as she released these short stories and these self-indulgent pastime of putting forth literature of characters that she loves and she could make a decent living at that with voluntary donations?
Yeah, you know what? She would do very well if she did that. Yeah. Like, for example, if she started a Patreon, like we did. We started one.
Patreon?
Ritual Misery. But go check it out. If you enjoy what we do and you find value in it and you want to give a little something back, go check it out. Patreon.com/ritual misery. We try to give extra stuff, pre-shows, post-shows, exclusive interviews, old stuff from the archives that we haven't released anywhere else. Go check it out. Patreon.com/ritual misery.
Yeah, it's currently acting a little funny. I'd show it on the screen, but it is. There's the action. And we still need to do a new video, dude.
Dude, we've been like the last three times we've gotten together in real life. We're like, yeah, dude, this is the time. We're reading the video.
And then there's beers and there's no videos. I don't.
Right.
We need to hold off on the beers one time to do the video and then drink the beers and then redo the video, because that's what will happen.
Yeah. Or we'll do the video.
Just
the
drink
first
coffee
time.
Too.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Coffee. You know what? We'll just drink Green Monster mixed with strawberry vodka and a 50-50 over ice. It's golden. Man, such a good party on that stuff. Woo. The hangover is hell, but whatever. You worry about that later.
So besides Patreon, there's other ways that artists can get together, like-minded artists get together and create communities and share their art with one another and find common audiences and things like that. Amy, what are your thoughts about artists forming communities and encouraging each other in such ways?
Well, it's just, I feel like there's a sustainability predicament for one thing. I've been watching a lot of interviews of independent filmmakers, and so just talking from like a financial perspective here first, it's interesting to see like when people choose to do like a crowdfunding kind of thing, or when they choose to get like donors, like people who are like really interested in what they're particularly trying to do. So I feel like there's, man, it's just kind of just starting, isn't it? All this like independent stuff. I mean, and when I say independent, I don't mean like even someone who is, I mean, people who are famous still do stuff that's like quote independent. But I just think it's really, it's just kind of fascinating to see like different people's approaches. And I think looking at, where the money is can be in a good way to just kind of see like who's going to be around them. Because if you're going to go for like, if you're going to do crowdfunding, a lot of times you're going to do a lot of social media. I mean, these people hire teams and they might already have a lot of people that they've met. But then it seems like there's still a lot of people who are more, almost like more private, and they just go directly to like certain people who want to influence culture and have the means to do so. I don't know. It's just, it's really, I feel like I don't know. It feels a little weird to like associate money with community, because it's not necessarily always true. But I do seem to find that to be somewhat the case a lot of time. I don't know. There's a really, really interesting YouTuber who I've followed. I followed him for a long time. I don't know if you're familiar with Olin Rogers. But I say he's interesting because, I mean, he's graduated from doing like funny skit YouTube videos to striking out on his own channel, where he's basically just telling like personal stories. Yeah, I think what you were just, he's now getting into cartoons. Like it's very interesting when I say cartoons, it's not just like, I mean, he's put his own money into like hiring actual animators. And I think he's actually getting a show with like David Tennant being one of the main characters now on TBS. Yeah.
That's pretty.
And then yeah. I mean, this is a guy who I don't think he lives in like Tennessee, I think. And really like super grassroots, like super grassroots, like, and it's interesting to just see the decisions he's made and the people that he's had in his videos and all of the stuff that is now happening. I know it's kind of a ramble, but
has a community sprung up around him, or like, you know, fans of his work, have they like formed a community together? Or
yeah, I mean, go on Tumblr, you'll find like freaking GIFs and memes and stuff. And I think there were three guys in his original troupe, and like went back in the old days when they were just kind of goofing around and stuff. And I think out of all of them, he's been the one that's been probably a little more industrious, really, really personal. Like a lot of his videos that have lots of views are just him talking to the camera. Yeah.
I think I've seen things like this, and it's not just YouTube, and I'm going to bring another YouTuber into this, Trade Chat. She does well, Blizzard stuff mostly, but she also does news and views on other games, you know, other companies. She does convention coverage. She's really, she speaks out for, people with disabilities, especially things like, social anxiety disorders and, you know, things like that. She's she has a huge community, and I only know this because I'm a minor part of it. But then you can look at you go from Trade Chat, which her real name's Danielle something or other, doesn't matter because she goes by Trade Chat. You go from that to someone shoots, what the hell's her name? I can't. See, this is how good I am right now. Lacey Green. Lacey Green started making YouTube videos when she was 16 or whatever, and now she makes a living going out and speaking against sexual predatorism and speaking for equality, sexual equality, and relationship equality, and women's, you know, rights and things like that.
Right.
Another huge community. I think it's awesome when you find that spark and you take that and you lead it with a good message, and you can build a community around that of like-minded people that are willing to help you spread that message, and you're doing it in a way that's not costing everybody a bunch of money. You know, Lacey Green goes to universities and speaks. I'm sure the university pays Lacey Green because that's how she makes money, right? But the students don't have to pay to go and listen to the message and see the stories of you know, diversity that she's found and she shares. And not to mention, she's still doing YouTube videos on all kinds of sex positivity stuff and everything else. I think it's great. I wish we could have a community around here that would have a message, but it probably means that we needed a message first. So we should find a message, Kent.
Yeah, right. No, you know, and I was actually just thinking about this, about, you know, building communities and whatnot. Justin and Brian with the Diamond Club community has literally changed our lives.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be the first to tell you, all they do is you know, shout a bunch of bullshit into the void, and a bunch of us relate to it and like it enough mm-hmm. that, you know, we like this community has sprung up around them and it's surpassed them. It started out as just, you know, a group of fans of their work, and now it's so much more than that. There's Diamond Clubbers out there that might not even recognize Brian or Justin on the street, because Diamond Club has grown so much like out from them, you know. And it's I don't know, there's something to be said about, you know, community. Once a community is formed and it takes on a life of its own, as long as the original feel, I wanted to say message, but a message feel. Makes it sound, but a feel mm-hmm. of a community, as long as that stays consistent throughout, you don't have to know about the origins or about the, you know, the central figures that right. started whatever. It can still be like you could be in a random place on the planet, and if you see somebody throwing up diamonds, they're your friend. You know what I mean?
Sorry, I just thought of someone like literally upchecking,
just tossing diamonds. Like, yo, they're worthless anyway. It's all a conspiracy.
Lucky charms. Only the diamonds.
I do want to take this opportunity real quick to remind people that we joke about not having a community. We joke about not having people that, you know, an audience and things like that. I hate saying fans because it's just so. It's not the proper service, as me and Ken have spoken about.
Followers.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like you're in a cult. Well,
we have an audience on this show. It's small. It's growing slowly, and we're very proud of what the little corner of the internet and the Venn diagram with Diamond Club that our audience has grown to be. But when it really comes down to it is we have projects like the one we're doing this year, the third year in a row, we're doing our New Year's Eve Streamathon. I'm going to pimp that out right now because we are in the planning stages to make that happen. It's last year we raised a couple $1,000s. The year before that was a couple $100s. I just want to see if we can continue that growing. We are looking for people to take up spots. As of right now, it's still going to be 27 hours. So we cover all 26 crossings of midnight for the new year. If you are a streamer, if you are a gamer, if you have a rig to where you can stream or you've ever wanted to, I don't know how we're going to make it work this year with Twitch instead of DiamondClub.tv being the central channel, but we're going to make it happen one way or the other. And if you want to be part of that, whether it's just hanging out in chat room or helping raise money or any of that administrative stuff, streaming, whatever, let us know. Email us podcast@ritualmisery.com and we'll get you in the loop. We'll get you part of the group. And the central core of it is we want to raise some money for a good cause, and we want to make sure that no one has to spend New Year's Eve alone. So yep. That, you know, if New Year's Eve is something that people don't find important around you, but you find it important, we want to make sure there's someone for you to talk to, someone for you to goof off with, have a good time with for New Year's. We can't do it for all the other holidays because everybody's always too busy. But for damn New Year's, man, let's have some beers. Let's hang out and let's make sure that anybody out there that's lonely on New Year's isn't alone.
For sure, man. It was a blast. Last year was insane. And this year, even though this is in the extremely early stages, it's shaping up to be probably better than last year, even. And we can definitely raise over $10,000 this year. I know we can.
I am going to go ahead and say now that we've got Christy Cates locked in for another performance.
Oh, yeah. That's, yep.
That's all I'm ready to announce right now, because we got a lot of people in the wings. But she approached us and was like, hey, we need to lock in these times. Let's do this. So. Yeah. Christy Cates for another performance this year, and that was awesome last year. So, yeah. Hey, Kent.
Yeah,
I got it. Crunchy says New Year's isn't a family holiday. It is for the Diamond Club family. I'll tell you that right now.
Yep.
Awesome. For the Ritual Misery family, for Diamond Club family, Crunchy, you're part of our family. Even if you do celebrate too much Texas. Hey, Kent, there's a little something, a little game we like to play in this show. So it's about time for you to hit a button, I believe. Or am I hitting it? You want me to hit it? I'll hit it.
You've got 60 seconds.
Get your mind right.
It's time for Hot Takes on the Ritual Misery Podcast.
I hit the button.
Amy, are you familiar with this game, Hot Takes?
No.
All right.
Not really.
So you are in the hot seat. You are going to give us your hot takes. I'm going to give you a topic, and you are going to rant or ramble or whatever. Say some words, whatever comes to your mind about the topic, until you hear the record scratch. When you hear that sound, you're going to stop talking. I'm going to give you another topic, and then we're going to go again. And we're going to do this for about a minute. Are you ready?
Hell yeah.
All right, Amy. Adulting, am I right?
Oh, man, it's really hard when you're look, you don't really know where to go hang out with people. They say you can go to a bar and get to know people, but what if you go to one and like half the people are drunk? So you're like, okay, I'm going to go to a karaoke bar this time because at least, you know, there's some tunes that'll kind of break the ice. You got a karaoke bar and you realize it's all going to be like Backstreet Boys and like maybe Bon Jovi or something. You're kind of like, I don't know if this is my style, but.
Amy.
Sorry.
YouTube, am I right?
Wait, what'd you say? YouTube?
YouTube, am I right?
So it's kind of funny when people complain about not getting money when they're basically just kind of talking about like really random bullshit that no one needs to hear. I mean, you know, more power to them. I mean, that's fine and all, because like, I mean, whatever. It's about personality.
All right, Amy. Fake mustaches, am I right?
Pretty much my favorite thing to wear whenever I'm just feeling like I need a change in my life. And it's kind of funny when you realize you don't look so bad in one. They need fake sideburns.
Mickey D's, am I right?
Okay, so they put something in the burgers. It makes you think that you want one, even though when you eat them, you're like, crap, that was not good. But then, like, 2 weeks later, you're like, shit, I need beef. And so you go, and you're disappointed yet again. Get the sausage and the big muffin.
The Ritual Misery Podcast, am I right?
So when two people come together, I mean, there's like multiple ideas that you can have that you might not have had before. And you got that little thing that's just, I mean, look, you can't have just like ritual. You can't have just like misery.
Oh my God.
Come on.
No, that was great.
My favorite part was when she goes, but then like 2 weeks later, you got to get some meat.
From experience. Oh,
that was a lot of fun. You were fantastic in that game.
Oh my God.
I
mean,
I even watched that freaking documentary and I still had an attack of the munchies. And the last time I was like, Steven, no, you cannot let, no, I don't care. Not happening again. Cause I always just feel like I'm eating trash.
Yeah. Well,
that's what it is.
Then I forget the next day and go back.
Right. Every single day, all the time. Hey, I got another little game I want to play with you guys tonight. I want to play Facebook's Least Wanted. Now, I like going through the Facebooks and find out what random shit people are selling. And I have brought forth some of my favorite items that I've found in my local area that you could go and buy right now on Facebook. And I want to show it to you guys. I'm going to show it to the audience. And I want you guys to describe what it is and tell me when you figure out what it was that caused me to flag this as a what the fuck kind of thing.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
First item. Here we go.
Okay. So it's a smartwatch, it says.
Mm-hmm.
See, $150. It says originally $199 new, still in box, never been used.
Samsung looking something.
Yeah.
It's got the thing still on it.
Definitely got the buttons like a Samsung device, like for Android OS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the paper in the back? Merrill Lynch. Okay, that's interesting. 14K. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are pretty close. The thing that I noticed on this was one. The camera is actually taking a picture of that Merrill Lynch paper in the background because it's crystal clear, but the item they're trying to sell is blurry as hell, not just because it still has a little sticker on it, but because it's out of focus.
Right.
The other thing that I want to bring to mind is that it says still in box, but the dude's wearing it.
But it's clearly on his wrist. Yes. Yeah, good job, Scott Laney. You're a liar.
So. It was actually philosophical because we all live in tiny boxes.
Oh my gosh.
Little boxes.
Yeah, that always makes me think of Weeds, the show Weeds.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes.
Okay, anyway. You ready for this one?
All right, what do we got?
Okay.
What's next?
And go.
All right, N64 games.
Mm-hmm.
$50.
Mm-hmm.
Six N64 games.
Yep.
All right, I see six of them. They look like N64 games.
Yeah, they have the thing.
You'll notice this is the only picture, okay? So I just want to make sure that you understand. Okay. This is the only, there's only one picture.
Okay, I see that they're primarily sports games.
Mm-hmm.
One of them you can't really see.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
one of them's red. So, I actually don't know what a N64 game looks like, but I see it has the Nintendo thing on there. Right? No, wait. What is that? Is that not a Nintendo?
Five known titles and a mystery title. Okay, you said there's more pictures though.
No, that's the only picture.
Oh, that's the only picture.
That's the only picture.
Five known titles and a mystery title.
Look at the text.
Yeah, six N64 games.
Right.
So it's like a grab bag.
What's that sixth game?
I guess you got to buy it and find out.
That's about the only thing because I'm not.
No. That's it. It's a matter of you're going to sell me six games, but you're not even going to tell me what one of them is.
Right.
Hey, that price includes the cost of mystery, sir.
It's actually five games plus one mystery.
Yes.
It could be another copy of one of those games for all you know.
Could be. That's the part of the fun.
If it isn't the sellers on Facebook, it's the buyers.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
What's next?
Okay. Next one. We got two more.
Okay.
Next one. I'm going to go ahead and expand this text here. Okay. There we go. And go.
All right. So we've got a 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Like new, but it has a new LCD, which was replaced by North Tech Group. That's alarming right off the bat. Because why would you not take it to the Apple store?
Do they still make 13-inchers?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so let's look at the rest of the pictures.
Okay.
So you get one. The first picture just has the Mac. It has the top view, the over top view. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The next picture we have, it's open, so you can see it has all the keys. It's got a screen that looks like it's not cracked because you can see the reflections on it. It doesn't look like there's, you know, spider webbing or anything else on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it looks pretty normal.
Now, if you ever bought a Mac on Facebook, usually they show a picture of whatever, like the about, you know.
So oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what this last picture is.
Okay, so all right. So we were talking about the 13-inch MacBook Pro being sold on Facebook, and we're trying to figure out what's the problem with it. So
that
now
image
we're
is really very blurry, so there's pretty much no way to know what you're buying. If, like, can't see.
Yeah, like, is that like the back of the, like, what?
Yeah, that's the plate on the back. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's helpful.
Yeah, it's so blurry. Like, and I want you to look at this picture.
Yeah,
look at this picture.
Very clear, beautiful.
Yeah, they're completely in focus. Very very well framed. And yet that last one. The last one, not so much.
Important information.
Right.
Does that have the serial number on it? Probably.
But they didn't give us anything about it, and there's no stats in the thing other than, in the description other than the fact they replaced the screen. It's like new, but they replaced the screen.
Hard drive and 8 gigs of RAM. I mean, that's
right. Well, that you just described like 2/3 of the MacBooks ever released since 2010.
Isn't it great when people say what they bought stuff for? It's like, yeah, was that like 10 years ago? I mean, I see people doing that for all sorts of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. So, thanks, Marcy. That irrelevant third picture.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And we are still having technical issues here.
Uh oh. Wait. Would you say they're gremlins? Are we having gremlins?
Could be. Hopefully, the audio is still recording.
I hope so. Well, if not, my audio is recording.
That matters. It's about time for you to publish an episode anyway.
Yeah, it ain't happening tonight.
All right, so let's start that up again, and let's start this up again. Well, luckily I'm off tomorrow, so I can handle all
the
things.
You're always off. Do you have just like 1,000 days of leave?
Tomorrow's a family day.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. You would know that if you weren't a civilian.
See, our family day, we get a 4-day week or a 4-day weekend going into next week. So Monday and Tuesday are the days off.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, I know.
So I brought this up that I wanted to have available for the next time that we had gremlins with our audio or video for that matter, like we're having right now. And yeah.
You're going to get our show tagged again.
Well, just cut this out.
Yeah, probably easier said than done. Okay, so we should be back live.
Yeah, I don't know. Are we getting video? I don't know if we're getting video, though.
No,
are you
I'm
still
trying.
With Sammy? Okay, yeah, there you
go. Mm-hmm. Are we back live yet?
All right, you're talking to me.
It looks like we are. Yeah, we are. We are. We're live.
Okay, so to complete this, the plate on the back of the MacBook Pro is completely blurred out. There's no chance of knowing what the hell's in this thing or getting the model number or anything else. Like, you just kind of got to go off the description, which says, like new, with a new LCD assembly, there's replaced by a non-Apple manufacturer an Apple store in Anchorage.
Yep.
Okay.
So they save $10.
Mm.
for your product and service.
Yeah, they save $10 but totally trash their warranty. It's cool.
Yep, that too.
Okay, and the last one is this right here. And go ahead and tell them what you see on this one. Oh, you're not seeing anything, are you? Because I didn't share, no. Didn't reshare with you. So there's that. Because we run a professional show around here.
Oh my God! So this is like 16 copies of Call of Duty.
Infinite.
Yeah, infinite number of discs for Call of Duty Infinite Warfare is what we have here. Yeah. So is he selling like $30 each? Like, why would you show them all? Like, just show one and say that I've got a few copies of this, $30 each.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's part one. And then there's one more thing that I noticed about this.
Okay. Well, he says he has a total of 16 left. That's definitely not a picture of 16 of them.
It used to be 20. He's updated it.
So what, if you're going to show the number, yet the number displayed is not accurate ever. Mm. Okay. I can see why this triggered you, Amos.
There's one more thing. One more thing.
Oh, God. Amy, you got any guesses?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, the capital letters are a nice touch.
it is in title case.
Yeah, and I wasn't gonna point out the general disregard for grammar.
No. This is a functional discrepancy between the description and the picture. There's a functional discrepancy.
Oh, so the title, he calls it Call of Duty Infinite Games. Mm-hmm. When it's Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Maybe that's
No.
That's
how about the fact that it says have a bunch? So it's already telling me to do something. It's telling me have a bunch of them. Have a bunch of copies. Brand new Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Brand new.
Right.
None of these have the cellophane wrappers on them.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they're not.
People like to fudge that or just say it so that it sounds nice.
Right. But here's the kicker. On these games, if you get them at a certain time, they come with codes to unlock shit.
Mm.
So brand new, but you've already opened it.
Right. So, yeah. Nice try, Kenny.
They're expensive too, like $30. I'm looking on eBay. You can get them like $23.
Right. This is not a new game.
Or $20, $15.
Yeah, $23 in cellophane, probably.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's a there's tonight's game of Facebook's Least Wanted.
Yeah. You know, I had really good luck with Facebook for sale just a few weeks ago. I brought a shrunk. Do you guys know what a shrunk is?
Wait. Let us guess.
Spell it. Can you use it in a sentence? Well, can you spell it?
Wait. First, let us give an initial guess, and then you'll give us a spelling. Then we'll try again, and then you'll give us you'll use it in a sentence, and we'll try a third time.
Okay.
Okay. Amy, you go first on the first round. I'll go first on the second round.
Okay, a shrunk is obviously, well, it's kind of like a thing that it's like a tool.
Mm.
It's like sometimes there's a weird, like, it's like it's almost like a weird wrench.
Oh, okay. Okay. Ooh. So she's going with a wrench. She's going with the type of wrench. Okay. Shrunk. I'm going to go with a, I'm going to go with a piece of headgear that is designed to keep the sun off of, like, you know, when you wear a hat, like the, the hat gets hot, right? So like, you get hot anyway, even though you're wearing a hat. So it's going to be a hat that's actually like a double layer, like those little tents that have a little flap above them, so that that flap gets hot, but your head stays cool. I'm going to say a head cooling piece of headwear.
Oh, okay.
That sounds so sexy.
Okay, first of all, did either of us get it correct? First of all, let's go, just go with that.
Neither of you got anywhere even in the vicinity.
Okay. Okay.
Correct.
I mean, fair enough. We're just going off a word here, man.
So, yeah. So all I'm.
So next, you're going to give us a spelling. Right,
Jobon in the chat is actually the closest out of the three of you. He says it's a German bratwurst. Well, no, it's not a bratwurst, but it is a German item. So I just went ahead and put a picture in the chat of what this is. It's a Schrank is a German piece of furniture that's basically like a giant cabinet.
That's like huge.
It's humongous. And I had a super freaking awesome one. It actually is very close to the one in the picture that I just sent out. Gorgeous, amazing piece of furniture. And I got here in New Mexico, and my house is too small for it. So I had it in pieces out in my garage. And it was taking up just a ridiculous amount of space of my garage that made like probably a quarter, maybe a fifth of my garage just completely unusable. And I finally put it up on Facebook maybe a month ago. I put it as free, and I got no bites.
Hmm.
And I was super disappointed. And because, I mean, I put it for free because I was like, you know what, at this point, it's costing me in space. I'm not going to use this thing for anything. So it's more valuable to me out of the garage than in the garage.
Right.
So I put it for free and I got no bites. So then I put it up for $50 or best offer, like a week later.
Mm-hmm.
I had like 15 bites immediately. Basically started a bidding war on Facebook. I ended up getting $125 out of it.
Nice.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the lady that bought it from me, she was like, you know what? I would have paid like four, maybe even $500 for this thing. Like, well, now you.
So is that like a case of perceived worth or something?
That's how it seems. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think so. Because I mean, when you put something on Facebook for free, you know, or any like for sale site for free, like people are like, oh, well, that's obviously garbage.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense. I don't know, but yeah, that Facebook Marketplace and all the for sale pages or whatever, they're actually, it's a good place to find shit.
That's awesome. The problem with buying things used though is sometimes they have an odor to them.
Sure. Yeah. That's like, no doubt.
Like maybe a cat peed all over them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that an issue with anyone? Does anyone know about cat pee?
Oh, me. I know so much about cat pee now.
She said, me. I know about the cat wee wee.
Yes.
And you sounded very 1980s cartoon French guy.
It's just a wondrous thing.
It's aimé le pieu.
It's when you smell it, you won't forget it.
And no, it's not something. Like, you recognize it from that point on in your entire life.
Yeah, especially when it's a male cat.
Hmm.
I'm kind of a connoisseur at this point.
How many cats?
See, what happens when, like, a cat, you know, a feline shows up and your front door and you're like, oh, poor thing. You know, you got to do something. So, you know, you take them in. And you can't litter box, contrary to popular belief, you can't just train them litter box like in a week. Mm. So you kind of let them have to just let them pee all over your sofa and bed and other bed, you know?
Mm. No. No, this is.
He would probably kill a cat.
There's a reason I don't like cats. And this is just one part of that reason. I mean, I take that back. I love felines. I think they're amazing animals. I just I
rather like watch YouTube videos of them rather than actually interact with one.
Well, cats are, they're not domesticatable.
That is true. I mean, they're not the same. Yeah.
Yeah, they're tameable. They're not domesticatable.
Like even, even like their diet, like it's interesting. I didn't even realize this until I got a cat. Like even their diets, like a dog could in theory go on a vegan diet. Maybe it's a little controversial, but it's like, it's much easier because they're actually omnivores.
Mm-hmm.
Cats, yeah. It's way like you really need to be careful. Cats,
carnivores. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so one of the things that I learned on Stuff You Should Know, there's, you know, you have wild animals, you have tamed animals, you have domesticated animals, and then you have feral animals. And I hear a lot of people saying that feral is the same as wild. It's not.
No.
So wild animals, its natural habitat, and then you tame it and to where it can coexist with humans. And then you have two different stages it can go from there. It can either go feral, meaning it returns to the wild, but it's known known life with humans.
Yeah.
And then you have domesticated, which means that they are reliant on humans. Now, the what you think of as dogs, they are reliant on humans. Dogs would not exist without human interference. They have to rummage through our trash, or they have to be fed by us. They do not return to the wild, whereas a cat will return to the wild, go feral, and still exist. A dog, in its current form, the way we understand dogs, will not. Wolves, coyotes, and all the other canines, they're fine. They're still wild. But we've domesticated the dog, and it cannot return to a feral state. It has to still rely on...
We've humans. Literally bred that out of them.
Yes, exactly.
Literally, mm-hmm. Literally bred that out.
But cats, we have not managed to domesticate.
It's so interesting. Have you ever seen videos of, like... I watch a lot of animal videos, I guess. But, like, when you start the domestication process with a dog, they'll start barking. Like if you are a few generations out from like a wolf or something like that. Yeah. I don't know if it's just because they're around people and they've learned to do it or, but they actually start like barking.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah. The whole thing is just, there's literally an episode on domestication, on Stuff You Should Know. And if it interests you, go listen to that because Josh and Chuck really take it and run with it. And it's a really interesting episode, especially if you love animals, love dogs and cats and shit like that. But yeah, you can't get rid of cat pee. It stays with you.
Well, that's the thing.
Hey, before we move to our last little bit here, I want to tell people a little bit about who Amy Escobar is. Or I hope she fills in the blanks. So Amy, the seemingly a rando here on Ritual Misery Podcast, I actually met Amy at Nerdtacular. Kent.
Yeah. That's Nerdtack.
Nerdtack. Sorry.
True.
Yeah, I don't want to
keep this. Let's keep this straight here. Did Nuggets ever happen, by the way? Like I never saw any evidence.
Of what?
Did the nugs ever happen? Like, did anybody actually buy any? There was talk.
If it did, I was too drunk.
Yeah.
I've bought nugs several times since then, but...
Nugs. Anyway. That's going to remain a mystery forever, I think. I don't know. But anyway, so there was a super secret, like, VIP hidden party... thing that happened toward the end of Nerdtack, and that's where I met Amy, and we started talking about podcasting and like the art of podcasts and what makes a good podcast, how do you make a podcast, all of these different things, and
you don't know how to make a good podcast, we know that,
correct,
because you're on this one.
Yeah, no, that's right. But anyway, so Amy was talking about how she was aspiring to be a podcaster, and I did have a chance to preview, hopefully, an upcoming podcast. Amy, can you help me out here? Is there Is there a future for the iteration of the show that I was privileged enough to see?
Yeah. So, there's a lot of things that I'm married, by the way, just FYI, have been for 4 years, and so there's a lot of things that we both want to do, like creative things. We're both really creative, Steven and I, and we've been tossing around this idea of just starting a podcast for a long time. And I think when we would get home, like we didn't know anyone here in Oregon. We're not from Oregon. We didn't really know anyone here. And we would, like, the fun thing for us to do would be to go to, like, the grocery store. I don't know why. And we'd both go together and just, like, walk around and talk. And then when we'd drive home, we would end up, like, sitting in the driveway for, like, 2 hours. And we'd just be talking. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're kind of like, maybe this should be channeled to a podcast. Like, if you find the sun going down and your groceries getting warm, maybe there's a better thing to do. I don't know.
That's not far off, as weird as it is. That's not far off from the origin of this show.
Right. Hopefully you have so much more success.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think you and Steven should still pursue that. Like, absolutely. No, I was just gonna say I have not had the privilege to talk to him, the couple times that I've talked to you, and, you know, of course here on this show, and then the preview of the potential show that you allowed me to see, I thought was fantastic. And if he can carry on a conversation with you and keep up, I absolutely want to see that. So I'm looking forward to it. I believe in it. And I look forward to it when it does come out.
Well, I'm worried about doing something like with your significant other, because it's not as if every single one of these conversations didn't start getting a little like, well, what about? And so,
right.
It's like,
the beauty of recording a podcast, you can edit all that crap out. Just don't do a lot. Don't be dumbasses like me.
Oh, but it's so fun.
It is fun being a dumbass. I'll give you that.
Yes. Yes. The less fucks you give, the more fun
you have.
Yeah. The more fun that you can have.
Right. you guys are able to disagree, and it's not like anything's like, I mean, not visually. I can't tell if anything's going, you know, but.
Oh, no. We're texting each other right now. Like, fuck you, dude. Why did you just. See? No.
I mean, not right now.
Yeah, no.
My phone died.
Post show, damn it. I'm going to give you what for.
So what's the podcast going to be called?
The name that I'm very proud of.
That's not a,
I don't think that one's taken.
I mean, I don't know if you've got the SEO to pull that off. I don't know if that's really searchable.
It's very experimental.
Amy, shut up.
The name Amy. Is, so well, yeah, every filler word that could possibly be in a podcast.
In your defense though, if you do title your podcast, so well, the... And they listen to it, and you guys are saying, so well, like it was at least truth in advertising.
Just make it like extremely painful. That actually would be, you know, the trolling side of me would actually really like to do that.
Oh my God. Okay. You have a 2-hour podcast, except when you go through it, you just take out all the actual context and you just leave the verbal pauses.
Yeah, you kind of lead on with a little bit that's like they think it's going to be a real thing, but it slowly like unravels.
They slowly realize there's nothing here.
Like 6.5 minutes of, oh, yeah. And
about
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the actual name is Funny Philosophy, but you always get like so like get this guys, it's Funny Philosophy, but you switch the PH with the F and it's like one's on that, like it's funny with a PH and then philosophy with an F.
That's trademark Amy Escobar, by the way.
Is it philosophy like F O L I S I F Y?
Ooh, oh, did you do that? I don't know that you did that. You changed both PHs with Fs. Because that's something different, and I think I might like that even better. Trademark Richard.
No. Quit messing with my title.
She's like, we've already got album art. Like, where were you 3 weeks ago, jackass?
Oh, that could be the, you know, the tagline could be like
we're designing a podcast as we go. You got a topic, we're gonna find. You just call over to Ritual Misery Productions and we'll get your podcast going with all the latest little artworks and misspellings. We can do it all right here, right just out of Ritual Misery Studios right here in Wasilla, Alaska.
Hey, Amos, why don't you bring us into our last segment so that we can go ahead and wrap this show up.
Joe Mon says, the cast with and
All right, so we've got a podcast or a pod, yeah. So take two. We have that Amy suggested, and I found the time to watch. But Amos, you did not.
We can't just have all of us watching the same TED Talk and stuff. That'd be what do you think this is? A show with an agenda and notes and stuff? Like who does that kind of shit? Rory Vaden, or is it Vaden? I'm gonna go Rory Vaden. How to multiply your time? Apparently, I need this more than I knew.
Yeah, and this is a fairly long one. This is about an 18-minute talk, and this is a TEDx actually. Amy, you want to go ahead and tell us the crux of this one? Like what are we to get out of this?
Yeah. So it's a time management one, and the kind of tropey thing is he starts out with everybody's completely wrong when it comes to time management. But if you keep watching, he actually brings up some pretty good points. And one of the points is that think about it in a sense of managing yourself versus managing time. And I like that he highlights how we do things, at least when it comes to time management these days, like it's really kind of an emotional thing that can really control your day just from your emotions. Another thing, I mean, I don't know how to recap it exactly, but another thing that I remember is like he's kind of got this filter for deciding how to manage your specific things that you're trying to get done. And I like that the first thing that comes up is like, is this really necessary? Just because my personal experience, I've dabbled with various methods because I work from home and it's a challenge and to manage your time at home. And I've tried like to-do lists and stuff and it's okay. But what I find a lot of times I'm cramming like way too much stuff. And I realize like later when I actually can't do the stuff that really I didn't even need to do half the stuff. So,
right.
That's pretty freeing for me.
What's that? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you
off. I was saying that's pretty freeing for me.
Mm, yeah. One of the things that I really loved about this, and this is something that I adopted actually a while back, is what he calls a time multiplier, which is like one of the steps of his like filter, I guess, is automation. You can automate a task, you free up like all of the time that you would have spent. Even if you spend a couple hours setting up that automation, you never have to do that thing again. So you free up all that time for the future. And that's something that I've tried to do in my life. Especially the example that he gave was bill pay, like automatic bill pay. I don't remember the last time that I actually like, oh, hey, it's the 26th. It's time for me to pay this bill.
White people,
all
rich.
All of that is automated. Well, I don't mean that, but yeah, like, you know, like my 27 for my gas bill, my, you know, like everything, my mortgage, everything is it automatically comes out of my bank account, and I don't have to deal with that every month. I remember, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, where like I had to write out a check, like a bill would come in the mail, like a piece of paper would come in the mail, and I would have to like get out a checkbook and write out the check, and then I had to like file the thing and mark off on my spreadsheet about how, yes, I paid this bill, I mailed it on this. Oh my God, was that time consuming? Now it's like, oh yeah, of course bills are paid. Like it's already done. And that's one of the things that I really liked about what he said. I think if everyone else did that, they would free up like so much of not just their time, but the worry, like the brain time. You don't have to act doing the thing, but the amount of time that you dedicate to thinking about the thing or worrying about the thing, you know, I'd prefer to use that for other useless shit.
Yeah.
Worry about paying.
It's that mental, the mental fatigue, the mental workload, that just the constant draw of having to worry about things like that. The only thing about all of this that I can say that I've actually actively done is I spent a lot of time, Kent knows this, I spent a lot of time in Audition and in Premiere learning how to do things. I don't have it automated, but I can go in and edit the sounds to my level of satisfaction within 3 or 4 minutes and have it completely done and ready to go, minus the trimming and cutting out the gremlins in the middle.
Because you invested that time in learning how to do it the most efficient way.
Mm-hmm. And setting my presets up and knowing the process and trying it 15 different ways to get the sound that I wanted and everything else. I don't spend any time stressing over things I can't directly control. And that's something that got me when I was in high school. I would literally stay up the entire night worried about things that I did not have direct control over. And now I drive my wife nuts because I'm not worried about it. And she's like, how can you not be worried about it? It's something's going to happen. Like, yeah, but it's
going to happen or it's not. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. The mental load is not there anymore. It's gone.
Amy, do you have an example of something that you have done to like streamline, simplify your
life?
Well, one thing, I've moved away from the to-do list, except that I actually use a program called Asana. Are you familiar with that program? It's a web-based program. It's really elegant, accessible on mobile and, you know, your computer. I think it's actually got a lot of the Facebook developers behind it. And it's like a collaborative sort of project management software, but instead of really like micromanaging my day, I will simply, when I remember that there's something I need to do, like if I need to, I don't know, change the oil or whatever, I will just set up, like as soon as I think of it, I will just set it up on Asana. It's just got hierarchies of to-do lists. Actually, it's to the point where we start recommending it to people, like the company that my husband works for now uses it. It's free, like for, you know, people like you and I that won't have to have a bunch of users on it. So, but that's one thing that has helped me so much. I mean, that and something like Evernote, you know, so instead of Googling something again, 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 and again, just kind of either like bookmark it, you know, keep it somewhere. So that I noticed that I spend way too much time like researching and researching because I'll like forget what I learned. Trying to build like a database one way or the other, really helpful for me.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, Amy, I think some of our listeners probably are interested to hear more about your ideas with stuff like that. Maybe even, you know, some of your random humor and just the things that makes Amy interesting and unique. Where would they go to discover things like that?
Currently I do have a YouTube channel that's really, really small and just starting. I'm not exactly sure where we want to go with it, but it's called House of Escobar. That's my last name. And so I don't know, our plan is to kind of like, it's like just showing our little adventures out here in the Pacific Northwest. Like, why are we even here? What are we doing out here? Thoughts, you know. And you can always find me on Twitter, Amy of Escobar. I'm a little kooky, but yeah.
All those people are.
It's really interesting because you provide a lot of content, and sometimes it seems very random, but a lot of times I will find a linear thought that will travel across like many tweets or cross over from a tweet to a video or something like that. And it's really interesting to watch. So I encourage everyone to get out there and check out Amy of Escobar.
By the way, if you see my, I'm really paranoid about this, but I follow all sorts of people on Twitter. I interact with like people that I despise. So it's like, just know, like if I'm doing something, it could be sarcastic. It could be heartfelt. It could like, we don't just.
So yeah, if she compliments you, just know that it might be an ironic backstabbing, I hate you, actually.
I follow you.
Or you're at least one person above someone else.
Amos, what about you, man? Where are you at?
I'm on Twitter, at Ethan Kane. That's it. That's just the place. Just go to Twitter, at Ethan Kane. I got a bunch of random people following me now. I don't know why that is, but... I got like businesses that have never produced a product that are following me. So maybe they're just hoping for good luck, but I don't follow people like that back. So
they know you're a sucker. That's what.
No shit. I'm a sucker. Like I like shiny shit. That's why I'm going to end up buying a phone next month. How about you, Kent?
Yeah. I'm on Twitter too, at @RM_DelNoche. Check me out there. You can pretty much find links to anything from there. But if you are curious on any other platform, Del Noche is pretty much me everywhere else.
Nice.
The
show can be found on Twitter at Ritual Misery. You can also go to ritualmisery.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail 567-698-7672. Email us at podcast@ritualmisery.com or catch us live right here at diamondclub.tv on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific. That might be changing soon, but we'll see how that goes when that time comes. And other than that, man, I really, really had a good time tonight. So hopefully this theme music kicks in and then we can get the hell out of here.
Thank you so much, Amy, for being our guest.
Hopes you have enjoyed this program.